League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Officially introduced the Chicago Cubs yesterday, and he had some interesting things to say about his time with the Houston Astros. He, at the beginning of his press conference, talked about specifically how things got a little crappy for him after he was demoted.
It was tough. You know, you get demoted, and then you got to go out there and be professional and try to lead the right way, and that was, I think, one of the things that, you know, kind of separates yourself from, you know, being an athlete and a professional. Like, you want to carry yourself professionally. And, you know, that's what they pay us to do, is to go out there and be a professional. And I think that the best way I could do that and show my teammates, you know, how I can carry myself even when stuff's not going to go your way.
To his credit, I do think he carried himself professionally this past season after the demotion, even though I'm sure he was pissed that he was demoted. In Dana Brown's defense, I think it was a merited demotion. And after Kendall Graveman got hurt, the Astros, I think, did panic a little bit, but at the same time got a PR victory by bringing in Josh Hader, because a lot of people wanted them to sign all the free agents who were available last offseason. And they stood pat until the very last second.
Yeah, it is strange to think back to last offseason. It reminds me a lot of this Alex Bregman stuff, where why did you need Kendall Graveman to not pitch last year to sign Josh Hader? Like, that didn't have to be the equation that you needed. You didn't have to wait until that injury took place to then sign Josh Hader. You could have just brought in Josh Hader and had, if Graveman was healthy, who, by the way, is healthy now and could be signed any moment if you wanted him, actually. You know, you could have had Graveman, Abreu, Presley, and Hader, in theory, along with Scott. Instead, they're like, oh, Kendall Graveman, $95 million to Josh Hader. And like, that feels like what's happening right now with Alex Bregman. It's like they're waiting for someone to get hurt. I don't know if it's like Dubon or McCormick. And like, that means Alex Bregman gets 5 years, $156 million or $162 million, whatever he wants, from the Astros. But the Astros made the right decision then, and Presley did do a great job. He is credited for being one of the main reasons why Hunter Brown had his turnaround last year. That pitch that he developed was Ryan Presley and Alex Bregman being kind of the influence of throwing that, what, two-seam fastball more.
So he said all the right things. But he also said something interesting, and I'm going to put my hot take hat on in a moment, even though it's a tinfoil hat Thursday. I've got a hot take hat. Jeremy Branham wishes he had a hot take hat like mine. Here's Ryan Presley talking about waiving his no-trade clause to join the Chicago Cubs.
You know, it's just, you know, being at home, you know, been here at home for the past 6.5, 7 years. So, you know, it's just, you know, it's hard to leave your home. But, you know, again, you know, an opportunity to go play for the Cubs, you know, came about. And it was one of these opportunities I don't feel like comes around very often.
What's your hot take?
That last part, to me, it resonated for a second. Because if I were, you know, a Skip Bayless type, you take that, you isolate that, and you ask, are the Cubs a better place to win
than the Houston Astros? Are the Cubs more likely to win this coming season than the Houston Astros? So I'm just throwing that question out there. This is not something I believe. I think that the Astros in the AL West are perfectly placed. Who's really competing with them? Mariners don't look like they are. Angels sure as hell aren't. Good luck to the A's. I don't care how aggressive they've been this offseason. They're playing in Sacramento. Their players are probably going to have pretty low morale by the end of the year.
Like heat strokes, apparently, because of how hot it is.
And I doubt the Texas Rangers are going to find their way back to where they were just 2 years ago, where they somehow, some way won the World Series, Florida Marlins style, before just vanishing off the face of the earth. And everyone forgot about them again. But is it possible that Ryan Presley, who is definitely jilted by the Astros, also believes that the Cubs have a better chance to win this year? 713-780-3776.
No, he probably thinks that just because now he's on the team. He does have Kyle Tucker with him, and maybe more. I think it's more about the idea of being a Cub more than about being on a better team. I think that matters to people.
Being a Cub?
Putting on the pinstripes?
Wrigley Field. If you're a baseball nerd, it matters. If you're a huge baseball fan, Wrigley matters for a lot of people. I know I'm going to get crushed for that.
Playing at Wrigley?
A lot of people like playing at Wrigley.
Do they even have lights?
They do.
Do they have toilets?
They do. That you poop in, yes, but.
So you can't be there? You can only poop at Wrigley
Field?
Well,
they have latrines. That seems... They have latrines to
pee in. The troughs.
They have troughs to pee in.
Okay.
Yeah, those are still there. Super gross. Not a fan. Don't miss that.
Yeah, I've never understood the appeal of the losing his franchise just because they have like a cool location. I've never understood the Chicago Cubs.
Oh, thing. Harry Carey.
Yeah.
Because they were on WGN.
But that's part of it. That's why people like the Cubs. It's because they were on WGN. So everyone could watch them.
You're from Chicago, so it's definitely different. But this, I just don't subscribe to this idea that the Cubs have some sort of like national fan base.
I mean, I think the people in Houston would disagree because there's like more Cubs fans than Astros fans when they come here.
Yeah, but that's because that's just every Houston sporting event here.
That's true.
It's the Texans, that's... The Rockets?
But of like the national fan bases, I think the Cubs and the Braves would have the biggest because of...
Well, the Yankees.
Well, yeah. The Yankees.
Yankees and Dodgers have the most.
But like because of the way TV used to work, like with like the Cubs and the Braves, I think that's why they... I've perceived more national fan base.
I think that's why the Braves like took over the South. TBS was on and no one else had a team. Yeah. For the Cubs, maybe that's true in the Midwest. But I don't know if Dallas native Ryan Presley was like, hell yeah.
I got to play for the Cubs.
He wants to play at Wrigley because of Rookie of the Year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because they have a propaganda movie.
He did say that in this press conference, for what it's worth.
Yeah.
It must have been such great business to be the first MLB team to be like, a 90s kids movie wants to make a baseball movie? Yeah. Yeah, it's the Angels. Sure. Yeah, it's the Cubs. Like, you just get such good free press for no reason.
I think it's more plausible that he views the Cubs as a contender than he looks at the Cubs and says, I want to play for them.
Or he just doesn't want to be in Houston anymore, I think also is part of this.
Sure, I'm sure. That's the main reason he's gone is because he probably felt jilted. And then the Astros were basically peer pressuring him to waive his no-trade clause with all that reporting that happened over the weekend.
It would be very funny if they're like, why'd you waive your no-trade clause? And he was like, well, do you see what Bob Nightingale is tweeting? God.
Yeah,
I can never show my face in that city ever again.
Yeah, I think
it made me feel unwanted.
Yeah,
because it really feels like listening to his press conference. Like the only reason why he didn't want to waive it has nothing to do with really baseball. It's wife's from here, he's from Texas, kid goes to school here. Don't want to move.
You know,
I don't want to move.
You know what another good reason would have been? Sean, do you have the dump button ready?
Yes.
Fuck Dana Brown. That would have been a good reason to not waive your no trade clause. I'm sure he thought that.
Yeah.
I'm sure he thought that, right? Like, F him. Screw him. Screw Dana Brown. That would have been a reason to not waive it. Honestly, I'm kind of. It would have been pretty funny if Presley just said, "Nah, I hate that guy. I'm going to stay here." Well,
I mean,
the reverse Jimmy Butler.
I mean, he wasn't going to be a closer here. He might not be the closer for the Cubs.
He's probably not going to be the closer there.
It's crazy.
Like, it's just he didn't want to be an Astro anymore, and like he didn't want to move. And as a married man, my guess is he had to convince his wife to move. Like. That's my gut feeling.
She doesn't have to move. I just have a place in Chicago. You and the kids stay here.
Yeah.
That right? That's how that could work.
I mean, I guess so. It could work that way.
Just, you know, I have my own place. Chicago. Right by the stadium. Hit up Wrigleyville.
Yeah.
Hang out with the Barstool guys. I'm sure the wives would love that.
Enjoy the winter.
Yeah.
Well, he'll be gone by then.
Yeah. No, he will have signed a contract with the Texas Rangers by then.
I was going to say he'll be an Astro by then, but like Hector Neris.
Oh, my God. That would be...
He better not have a 9 ERA or whatever Hector Neris has.
The Astros openly welcome back that 9 ERA.
It'd be really funny if they traded that prospect back for Ryan Presley.
Stretch run.
Profit.
Cam Smith. We're going to send him back.
If they just like DFA'd Presley, like, it would not shock me if he was just back. At the deadline.
No, because I do feel like there's the belief Dana Brown. I feel like that is part of it.
Yeah, we probably would go back to the Rangers.
Yeah, just sign with the Rangers. Now, can I already just make that my prediction for next year's free agency? Even though this year's free agency isn't even over, just next year, Ryan Presley is going to sign to be a closer. Or, I don't know, setup man. He might just be a setup man for the rest of his career now. He's going to the Rangers. There's no reason he's not going to. If you didn't want to move that badly, you'd just go to the Rangers.
Sticks it to the Astros, retires in his hometown. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. So there you go. Just food for thought. Is it possible that Ryan Presley waived his no-trade clause also because he believes that the Cubs are better this coming season? He's definitely trying to sell himself that right now.
100%.
I'm not saying I believe that. I'm just asking that. The press conference, you could certainly isolate that audio and say, he thinks they're better.
From the outside perspective, I get why you would think that. But then, like, if you actually, like, you know, talk to anyone that, like, works there and, like, what a cheap owner they have, like, you're probably going to realize that they don't operate exactly the same way the Astros operate. They operate pretty poorly, to be honest, right now. So...
Yeah, I mean, they had Theo Epstein for a little.
Yeah, and then they got rid of him.
They got rid of him? Or did he leave?
Semantics.
Is it semantics?
What happened in Boston? Did they, he gave up all of his prospects. He won a World Series with a lot of other guys that he didn't bring in. And then after a couple of years, it bottomed out. That's what happened in Chicago. And now he's going to be the next commissioner of baseball, most likely. And he's trying to fix the game that he broke. That's what Theo Epstein's doing right now.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call and to text in. Big game for the Rockets tonight. And some crazy stories across basketball. We had some fights. The guy that the Rockets wanted and didn't get looked like a bitch last night. I can't believe this guy's trying to act like the NBA's out to get him. Who am I talking about? You'll find out. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Big game for the Rockets tonight. They're 5-point dogs. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975 on a risk-free Thursday as they play the Memphis Grizzlies tonight in Memphis. I get it. It's another road game, but they're 3-0 against Memphis this year.
Actually, we didn't miss an injury, right? Like, someone's not missing tonight's
That's
game?
That's what I'm wondering about. Because
Şengün's a game-time decision.
Is he?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, interesting.
No, the Turks.
The Turks are going to be pissed. Well, someone responded to me, and I engaged with some of these complete morons. And again, like, they don't know any better. They live in a dictatorship, you know? Like, you don't get to breathe in freedom. It damages your brain cells. A lot of toxoplasmosis in Turkey. They like cats. That's the one thing I will agree with Turkey on. Turkey treats their cats very well. But, yeah, one of them said, I hope he's benched tonight. You'll see what Ime Udoka's like when he doesn't have Şengün. And it was just the other day. Şengün said, yeah, the reason I'm doing so well this year is because Ime Udoka believes in me.
Hey, you know what? Maybe without, you know, Şengün, they're going to lose by 20.
If I have to be the racist, xenophobe, terrorist who needs to be killed, as one person said, I'll do that for Ime Udoka. I'll do that for the Houston Rockets. I will take the bullets.
Honestly, now I just like want Şengün not to play tonight.
No, I want him to play. I
want the Rockets to win by 30 without Şengün.
I like Şengün, and I just wish that there wasn't a really loud 20% minority of Rockets fans living in Turkey who act like it's racism and xenophobia whenever he is criticized or whenever Ime Udoka gives him the tough love that he gives to literally every other player on the team. Because I think that it's disrespectful to actual racism and actual xenophobia, which Turkey is very familiar with. So is the United States. So is every country ever.
Yeah, they just have no idea like what they're talking about because like they don't have anything else to root for. Like they don't know anything about American sports, clearly. Like there's Hito Turkoglu?
Yeah.
Is there anyone else like you could ever think of from Turkey? I think I'm kind of already like when they trade him this summer or if they trade him this summer. Part of me is going to be like, good, these people are gone. Like, it's not a Şengün thing. I'm like,
I mean, just don't look at, okay.
This is annoying.
Just don't look at social media. Yeah, like, go away. Annoying. Like, I barely see any of them. And it's because I don't look at social media during games for the most part.
The For You tab on Twitter and X and Instagram and TikTok and everything, it's the worst thing because you see things that you don't necessarily want to see, but that the algorithm knows you might engage with or that you might read a little bit longer. And they know me now. Because I got triggered a couple of times just seeing these people whine and cry all the time.
Algorithm loves to see Paul Compton. Where it's like, we're designed to show you what you get outraged by. Yeah. No one tells us what he's outraged by more than Paul Kawhi.
Exactly. They know that. That's how these things work. Like that. I mean, Twitter, yeah, there's news breaking that happens there. But it's also just rage porn. Like, how can we piss off everybody today? And it'll show you things that they know will piss you off. Like that. The For You page sucks. And it by default goes to it. Even though you can switch the settings so that it changes. But anyway, no one cares about this. Well, here's my advice to everybody. Don't get on Twitter. Just don't. It's terrible.
Yeah, stay away.
If I didn't have this job, I would be off it. I really would. Because like the amount of time I've spent like reading these mentions and sort of getting off to them, which is also a bad sign, is a little bit too much.
Again, the algorithm's like, hell yeah.
But that's why like if Şengün doesn't play tonight and the Rockets win by 20, you could have so much fun tonight, Paul. Like you could really have a good night on social media if you wanted to troll these people.
Just tag at Turkey, hashtag Turkey. Huh, better without Şengün. 1-0. Who would have thought? But I want him to play tonight, and we'll see what happens. They are 5-point dogs. A lot of stuff going on around basketball. A lot of stuff. A lot of fights. But also an interesting take by Adam Silver. So let's do that first. Here's Adam Silver talking about a possible rule change for the NBA in the near future.
And I'm probably in a minority. As we get more involved in global basketball, the NBA is the only league that plays 48 minutes. And I am a fan of 4 10-minute quarters. I'm not sure that many others are. I mean, putting aside what it means for records and things like that, you know, I think that a two-hour format for a game is more consistent with sort of modern television habits. I don't think people in arenas aren't asking us to shorten the game, but I think as a television program, being 2 hours, that's Olympic basketball, is 2 hours, you know, college basketball, of course, is
40. Yeah, but if you like it, I'd say it has kind of a little bit of a push there.
Yeah, it's such a dramatic change to the game. I mean, I think something like that would have to be talked more about.
How about less games before we shrink quarters?
They'll just never do it. Baseball ratings did go up this year with the pitch clock. I kind of feel like this is in response to that. I know he's referencing Olympic basketball and college basketball and the new league that they're supposedly trying to start overseas, that they'll be working in conjunction with, basically like an NBA Euro is being talked about. But what's really the purpose of this? He says the 2-hour window. He's saying in his mind, he shortens these from 2.5-hour games to 2-hour games, that ratings are going to go up. That's basically what he's saying. What proof do you have of that concept? That 2 minutes are going to, shaving 2 minutes off a game. Okay, so Amen Thompson's going to play 40 minutes? That's what you think's going to happen? Yeah, he's going to play 40 minutes, but LeBron's not going to play 40 minutes.
I think maybe it's the idea that if you subtract 8 minutes from 82 games, you're going to have more rested players and less guys having sick days, you know? But here's the thing. They're going to keep doing it.
Oh, yeah. This doesn't fix that. I mean,
and that's the biggest problem.
Yeah, it's the games. The number of games. That's the problem.
I'm not convinced that changes anything either. You can't convince me that the way that these players treat their sport and how little respect they have to just trying to play every single game, that if you went from 82 games to 60 games, that you would still not have players skipping 15 games.
Well, some of the responsibility is also on the teams.
Yeah, for sure.
Because the teams will hold guys out when they could play. Because there's too many games. Because you don't have to play 82 of these things. And if you do shorten it, then every game means more. It's a bigger percentage of your season. And they're more spread out. So you're also going to be more rested.
See, it's so funny. If I was going to fix the NBA, I would shorten the season. You know what I would do? I would condense it. I would actually
I would keep it. I would just say you play 60 games in where we were playing 80. So you play 2 times a week.
Yeah. I get it. But then you're barely on television. I also think your majority of your season goes against the NFL. It does hurt you. Go against baseball. Play in the summer.
I thought that too. I think there's an idea that during the vacation months that people aren't going to watch the
people
finals.
Just aren't in front of TVs
but
as much
they don't
in
watch
July.
Now.
Then it doesn't fix your ratings problem.
That's why it's
No, what this is a sports media problem. This is sports media being we want something to talk about in July and August.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. From the 281, you could shave an hour off each game by going back and not reviewing every trivial foul. I think that's a fair point.
That's something that also, if we're going to take ideas from the Olympics, it's that too.
Yep.
Just for the most part, if you just go, we're just playing on. Because it goes back to the Chiefs thing. If we're going to have to sit here and dissect every single foul or every single out-of-bounds call, it's not helping anybody.
Well, the Rockets really are, to me, is not saying we matter, but if Adam Silver were to ask, I think, Paul and I, how to fix the NBA, we look at what's happening with the Rockets. I would look at what's happening with the Rockets right now. If the Rockets were playing the style of James Harden, we're not talking about them in the way that we're talking about the Rockets right now because it's bad basketball. The Rockets play good basketball now. They play an entertainment sport where, they're enjoyable to watch. They are a good product. The product is the problem. It's gotten too soft. There's too many fouls. There's too much resting. When you're talking about minutes restrictions and all these things, it's just sad. Just play. Just go backwards. Go to play Olympic basketball. And that's fun.
I'm with you. When you said that right there, I mean. The game itself has become missed three after missed three after missed three after missed three after missed three. And there's that one sequence of, 2 minutes of a game that keeps on getting brought up where I think there are 7 missed threes in a row. And everyone was just settling for bad shots. And there's a lot of that. And, the best team in the league, or at least the reigning champs, who are not having the best year this year, the Boston Celtics, they're shooting 60 threes a game. 60. That's insane. That's not even an exaggeration. I think the number is 52, 53, mm-hmm. 54. It's insane. And a lot of teams are doing this. And it was driving me a little bit crazy at the beginning of the year when the Rockets were doing it because they weren't very good. But this is the way that the game has gone. And blame Daryl Morey for that. Blame also the Warriors. But like Daryl Morey was the one who saw that, and a lot of people started copying him because it did work. Like the Rockets started to overachieve with James Harden.
Yeah, but the thing is, like the Rockets did it with James Harden and shooters, where now you have it where like
everyone's doing it.
Yeah, and it's just the idea of like, hey, like the Charlotte Hornets are going to be crappy no matter what. The Utah Jazz, they're going to be crappy no matter what. It's just the style that they play. In what flavor do you want this crappy team to play in? That's really it. Because they're not going to play better if you make them take less threes. They're just going to miss shots closer to the basket. They're just going to miss different shots and lose the same amount.
But yeah, I feel like the NBA messed up, man. Like they just did an overcorrection. Like Kane Darko asked us, like, what era of NBA did I grow up in? Did we grow up in? Well, I watched one of the worst NBA finals in history. It's like one of the main ones I remember is that Pistons final, where like they're scoring 87-81 are the final scores, and it's terrible basketball. But then they corrected to this because they thought offense equaled ratings. They overcorrected. They have to shift back. There is a middle ground that the NBA just missed. They overshot their landing.
That is funny that like we now, I mean, this is like in everything. Where now we're just romanticizing like the 2000s, and it's like people were so pissed off at the NBA in the 2000s. Like people did not like that at the time either. Like that's why I think some of it is like people are just going to complain about stuff. Like, people are just going to complain about too much offense, too much defense. If one thing becomes in vogue, then they want the other thing. Like, it just becomes too much of one thing all the time. Where, like, when there's one team in the league that's playing, like, you know, the Phoenix Suns in the 2000s, that's fun. But when every team plays like it and they're way crappier, then you don't like that.
Think about, like, the NFL right now and how much we glorified Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Joe Mixon this year, bringing the running game back. But there was a time when every team was just running the ball 40 times a game. It was boring. Like, I mean, it was just like there's more styles back then, it felt like, but I don't know.
College has a lot of styles. I mean, all things, society, sports, pendulum. Like, we go one way, we go too far, then he goes back the other way, then he goes too far. Same thing, overcorrecting over and over and over again. And football's done that to a degree. Basketball's done that to a degree. And also, this is the other thing, too. And I don't know if it was really bad like this back in the 90s, but the players are soft. And I'll just point to you last night where Victor Wembanyama gets hip-checked by a player last night, and then he goes nuclear. And then afterwards, he's asked about it. I don't even really want to play the comment, Sean. We don't need to play it. Like, he doesn't have a French accent, so it's not even fun to listen to. Sorry, it's disappointing that Victor Wembanyama does not have a French accent, but he got grazed into, and he fell over, and he was so pissed, and it was clearly incidental by the player who did it, whose name is eluding me.
Zubac.
Yeah. Just Euro on Euro crime, okay? And listen, we don't look down on that, okay? I know that some people think I'm a racist, xenophobic terrorist. Most of those people are from Turkey. I just want people to know, like, hey, like, this is what they have brought into our game, though. This stuff, this falling over. Like, I don't necessarily believe that Wemby fell on his own. I think he embellished it a little bit.
I mean, look how he tried to get off the ground. He looks like a baby deer. I mean, it's actually, like, kind of sad watching him try to get up and then, like, slowly jog out.
No,
like,
that's the part that I've rolled my eyes at the most, is like the push in the back, falling over, whatever. It's the, like, get up, slap the floor, take like three hard steps, and then turn around.
And then, held back, you're the biggest player on the court.
It's like they, like, touch him and he's like, okay, I'm done.
Meanwhile, you've also got, I enjoy Isaiah Stewart. I think he is decidedly about that life. He stands on business. Everyone says they stand on business. Isaiah Stewart's the guy who tried to kick LeBron's ass and ran through everyone on the court and was not held back successfully once in an attempt to get to him after a game. This guy, Isaiah Stewart, I'm so bummed out that Syracuse did not land him. He wanted to go to Syracuse, and Jim Boeheim was like, no. So he went to Washington. So he got ejected.
Watched the play.
He got ejected, and I mean, look, the play, it's so flagrant. he just forearm shoved a guy, and the guy falls back, and he might have embellished it a little bit, but like he just put his shoulder into somebody. Supposedly, per J.B. Bickerstaff, Pistons head coach, something was said. What was said? I don't know. But on his way out, Isaiah Stewart, while being escorted out by security, held up his hand like a gun and pointed it towards that guy menacingly. And look, this is one of those situations where, unlike all those football celebrations that are getting flagged, like, this is also one of those things where if this element is still in the NBA, where there's this idea that some players are gangster, and there's that other element of they're also flopping up a storm, and they're not playing every single game, and the style of the game is such where you're just chucking up threes or trying to get fouls, it does lead to a decline in ratings, especially when on top of all of that, the biggest stars of the game are talking out of their ass about social issues that they don't have an effing clue about.
Yeah.
And that's not all of them, but it doesn't take much for some to generalize it. And of all the sports where people have stopped watching, it feels like there is, as far as the NBA goes, a lot more people who look at it through that prism, whether right or wrong, and that's why the ratings are down.
I also, like, I don't know. I don't want to say, like, we're a totally racist country here. But, like, I don't think it helps that all the best players, none of them are from America. Like, when you look at...
I don't disagree.
Like, yeah, Jokic, Giannis, Luka, Wemby.
Well, I just think, like, it's a reflection of American basketball culture. The AAU culture, like, it lends itself to no one cares about the team anymore. No one cares about the team. It's a team game, ultimately. Yes, we like the stars, but that's what's... Another great thing about this Rockets team, and I am excited for tonight's game against Memphis, the Rockets are a team. No one is bigger than the program. Not Alperen Şengün, people of Turkey. Not Jalen Green, Jalen Green stands. Not Amen Thompson. And that's been lost, too, because all these players are about themselves and their brand. And we have become very individual as a society. And look, that's just part of the United States. You're allowed to be what you want to be. You're allowed to look out for yourself. But I think people are turned off by the me nature of all sports, in particular basketball, though, is the worst of them.
Yeah, I think so. I think the NBA has done themselves more than any other sport a disservice in pretty much every functional way that they can. And look, even though, like, the Rockets, it worked, it seems, the tanking worked. It's still a huge problem in the league. The player movement, the player empowerment, the... Going back to from when LeBron joined the Heat towards where, like, at least that's finally breaking. We're finally done with big threes, it feels like, at this point. Like, it feels like the Suns are the...
Yeah, now it's just impossible to trade anyone.
Yeah, now you're just stuck. Like, they're literally changing their entire infrastructure of how the league works to basically make it so Jimmy Butler can't demand a trade to Phoenix. Like that's the whole purpose of it is to punish players for signing contracts and basically saying, you're stuck, or you have to get traded to, like, the Pistons. Like, it's the only team you can move to. So, I give Adam Silver some credit. I think he is trying his best.
Stern was better.
100% better. I think Adam Silver is trying his best to right the wrongs that he made himself. But
the wrongs he made in an attempt to pander to the players. And I think that ultimately backfired, and now you've given them so much. Stern, for all his faults, and there were many, Stern was a no-nonsense guy. And now you got a pushover.
I mean, think about who was playing in this Isaiah Stewart game. It's Pistons Pacers. Like, the irony of Isaiah Stewart destroying a player. I mean, it was a full-on check.
It's more malice, not malice.
But, like, it's very ironic, though, like, when you think about these two incidents of, like, how it happens. We're like, the Pacers fans now are just, like, waving goodbye as Isaiah Stewart is leaving the game versus what happened. I mean, as much as people, like, clowned on him for a while, like, Stearns was right about a lot of things. Like, the NBA was at its best when he left the game since the 90s. Like, since Jordan retired, where he got it was at its best, for sure.
Gary, our friend, has a thought.
Oh, boy.
713-780-3776. What's up, Gary?
Hey, guys, you got one of you guys mentioned something about, yeah, races and things like that. I didn't bring the word up, but one of you guys, I forgot who it was, in the me deal. Isn't it the baseball players? I think, let me go back to basketball first. I think the biggest thing about it is that the players have the control. And if we're talking about the race and all that, I mentioned that word, something about black players and black people having control irks some of those people. So, but now I liken it to baseball. Aren't they the ones getting the $700 and $800 million contract?
$1 billion
contract?
But it's not like.
I'm asking.
Yes, they are. But Gary, the difference is in the NBA, the amount of huge contracts that are given out, like on a per player basis, it's significantly more than that of baseball. Obviously, there's more baseball players than there are basketball players on a given roster. Anyway, Gary, continue.
Oh, I was just saying that, though. Thank you for taking my call. But I just think because of the race play part of it, to the control factor, they do. Most of those guys are white owners, and for the be held hostage, the reverse psychology, I just think it irks them because control. They have control of what they want to do, and that really rubs those guys the wrong way.
But I think you're talking about the owners here, right? Are you talking about them, or are you talking about
the owners? And then, I was talking about the owners, but then it filters down to the talk shows, and when they're talking about it, then it fills into the other people who plant seeds, and they're like, oh yeah,
totally,
they're a bunch of thugs or whatever.
Yeah, Charles Barkley and Shaq say all these players are overpaid, it totally trickles down.
I don't disagree. I mean, they can be manipulated as well. They're making good money, and they're on there with EJ and Ernie, and the show almost went out of existence. So that's neither here nor there.
Gary,
but okay, but thank you guys.
Appreciate the phone call, Gary. Always a fresh perspective.
And also, Gary, so you don't get canceled in the future, buddy. Governors. They're not owners. They're governors. You don't remember that, Paul?
No.
They're not called owners anymore.
I remember.
They're called governors now. They're not technically. The NBA changed that.
They need to just put J.D. Vance in charge of the NBA. Then things will really turn around.
Yeah, terminology, that'll fix everything. Look, the sport does have a lot of obstacles that it's facing, and I think the big problems that a lot of people are just turned off by the way it's gone. And
I do think that we can sit here and talk about like what is a problem, what isn't a problem. The biggest problem is that people think that there's a problem. Like it doesn't have to be logical. That like it just has to be people don't like it. You have to change.
Yeah, I mean when your owner is acknowledging so often that there's a problem, like it's like there's a lot of times where these owners, you know, or commissioners, sorry, will like pretend like there's not. Like they will act like everything is sunshine and rainbows with their sport. And Adam Silver is having to outright acknowledge that ratings and everything are down.
I will say though, I think there's too much tinkering. I think you change things too much. It gets people like constantly talking about what you can change. Where like no one talks about like how do we fix like an NFL problem. Like it's just one problem at a time. Every once in a while, normally during a slow part of the season. Where like the NBA, it's just like, well, they're going to change the All-Star. If we complain about enough, they'll change the All-Star game again. If we complain enough, they'll change the playoffs again. Like I do think that you start like. It's a little bit like a parent with a kid of like once you kind of back down a little bit, then they kind of walk all over you.
The NBA, their biggest problem is that they let the players have too much influence on their sport. I mean, the reason why they had a problem with contracts and player movement was because specifically, like when you look at the 40-year-old clause where like you can make $40 million a year, that was all Chris Paul. It was Chris Paul and LeBron and Melo. And all these guys, like the top of the league, like they selfishly changed their CBA in the NBA to benefit those like pocket of banana boat crew players. And like it's a huge problem with the NBA. Like it's they let the players, the elite players, specifically like LeBron and them, change the collective bargaining group of like all their rules. And now they're just like, I don't know what to do with it.
And listen, if you have the power to do it, go ahead and do it. But don't think there won't be repercussions for it. And I would say that's on the players. Like the owners, it's also on them for not sacking up and saying no to some of these things.
Well, and part of it is because like NBA players of all the sports, like the best players do have the most impact on the wins and losses.
For sure. And, you know, what LeBron deserves credit from this perspective. Like, he has always gotten the Lakers to do exactly what he wants, like getting Bronny James Jr. to play in a game again. You know, that's been part of this. But the players are part of this, too, because the players pushed for this. And it is kind of interesting that now we focus on Adam Silver and we focus on the owners, who were definitely part of the problem. The unquantifiable problem.
You can say no.
But the players are the ones who push for all this. Anyway, this is still on the table if you want to weigh in on it. We got garbage time next before we wrap things up and turn things over to the Killer Bees. He's Joe. I'm Paul Sean behind the glass. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. This is Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Last chance to dance, Galant and George. For those who don't know, Justin Tucker has been accused by six massage therapists of sexually inappropriate behavior in an article in the Baltimore Banner. Justin Tucker has released a six-paragraph statement in response. It begins, "The allegations in the Baltimore Banner article about me are unequivocally false. Throughout my career as a professional athlete, I have always sought to conduct myself with the utmost professionalism. I have never before been accused of misconduct of any kind, and I have never been accused of acting inappropriately in front of a massage therapist or during a massage therapy session or during other body work. I have never received any complaints from a massage therapist." The statement continues, and at some point he just slanders the Baltimore Banner several times, saying that there were journalistic failures every step of the way. And I decided to hire the leading defamation law firm in the United States to write to the paper to figure out what the actual allegations were against me. He finishes up this statement saying, "I have always made a conscious effort to be considerate and respectful in all the interactions with the community that I love so much. It is devastating for me to learn that anyone would feel I was offensive in any way. I maintain I did not act inappropriately at any point before, during, or after a professional bodywork treatment session. I would never intend to offend or hurt anyone ever." Interesting that this statement begins with "it's unequivocally false," but also says, "I never intended to go and hurt anybody, offend anybody," towards the end.
Caught that too. I thought that was interesting. I mean, look, and this is, we'll have to wait and see how it plays out, but gosh, it just reminds me so much of how the beginning of the Deshaun stuff started.
Yep.
Firm statement, and then it just, and he always stuck by it, and Deshaun always had. Like, he still has. He doesn't talk about it anymore because he's a coward or illegally can't at this point. Probably a combo of both. But it feels eerily similar. We'll wait to see what happens next, but it feels eerily, eerily similar to Deshaun Watson.
He seems like a dirtbag, but again, we'll see. There's allegations at this moment in time, and here's the thing. The allegations are going to be very hard to prove. We learned that with the Deshaun Watson case. Sean behind the glass, Joe to my right. I am Paul Galant. Time for some garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
The tush push. It's a play that the Philadelphia Eagles are very good at. Some call it the brotherly shove. And in German, this is how it's described.
Das ist der tush push, ja? Blue 80! Blue 80! Bereit? Bereit? Set! Hat. So. Versteht ihr? Tush-Push ist, wenn der Offense-Spieler da hinten einfach wirklich am Po den Push macht. Und meistens sind es ja zwei Spieler. Damit kommt nochmal diese zweite Welle. Die erste Welle wird meistens gestoppt von der D-Line. Und dann kommt diese Wucht von hinten.
Ja. Yeah. That's the explanation of the tush push with the physical demonstration in German.
The audio to when they say tush push to what's happening in the background does not like that's what, sound like what they're describing.
Well, I honestly listened to that and I can hear how the English language came from German, mm-hmm, and some of the Romance languages all blended together into one beautiful potpourri.
Yeah.
That now the United States of America champions. And England do.
Yeah, we're the best.
Yeah. We're still kind of imperial. England? Not so much. Continuing through garbage time. Trevor Bauer believes there are only 20 players on the planet who are competition for him. How many of them are Astros?
20.
20 Astros, damn.
I don't know. I watched a Barstool employee get hit off of him, so like I don't really buy into this whole like only 20 people are better than me thing.
He's very mad about being out of work, and he keeps on bringing up the fact I'm one of the most popular pitchers in the game.
He is. I mean, he seems well liked in Mexico and Japan.
Yeah.
Like, but
do you think he can still pitch in the big leagues?
Yeah, I do. I there's no way you can convince me that. I mean, like, there's a lot of guys that roll out that are bottom of the barrel, don't belong on a major league roster. There's no way he's worse than all those guys.
Was it last year or the year before where there was a push online, perhaps from our Twitch, to bring in Bauer?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a little bit last year where people like...
Last year, that's...
Yeah, people wanted Bauer. I mean,
when things were at rock bottom, they're like, bring it, Trevor Bauer!
When, like, it felt like everyone was coming back, but then all the other injuries started to pile up. I think it was like right when, probably when Christian Javier got hurt is probably when it happened the most. But I mean, yeah, he could pitch in baseball still. But the reason why he's not is because it's not because of what it was alleged. It's because his teammates hate him. It's because the Dodgers hate him. The players hate him.
I think most baseball players do not like
him. That's why he's not in baseball.
To wrap it up, the 489-pound rapper who is suing Lyft. There's a video of her falling on stage while trying to twerk.
It's very funny.
And now you know, so you can look that up on your own time. Big thanks to everybody who tuned in to today's Galan and George show. Our callers, our texters, our YouTubers, our Twitchers, and everyone else who listened. For Sean Mapes, for Joe George, I am merely Paul Galan. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.